Hey, it's Nishant, and welcome to Higher IQ. Hey, it's Sunday, July 26th. I was with my cousins the other day, and we were talking about how LeBron James just signed a two-year, $8 million contract with the Philadelphia 76ers. I remember just a couple years earlier, he signed a two-year, $101 million deal with the Lakers. It was paying him like $51 million a year, something insane like that. And it got me thinking about something that I've never fully understood, which is, how do sports contracts actually work? And which sport is the best one to play if you're purely trying to maximize how much money you can make? Because you hear numbers like Patrick Mahomes signing for $500 million or Shohei Ohtani signing for $700 million. And those sound like roughly the same universe of money, but when you dig into how those contracts are actually structured, they're actually completely different deals. One of them is almost entirely guaranteed, meaning the player gets paid no matter what happens, and the other one mostly isn't, meaning the team can walk away from most of that money if the player gets hurt or even underperforms. The headline number is the same. The actual money is absolutely not. And once you understand the differences between how the NBA, NFL, MLB, and NHL, which is the National Hockey League, pay their players, you start to see that the sport you play matters almost as much as how good you are at it. So in sports, the single most important word in the contract is guaranteed. And it splits the four major American sports leagues into two categories that couldn't be more different. In the NBA, contracts are almost entirely guaranteed. If you sign a four-year, $100 million deal, you're getting that $100 million whether you play every game, you sit on the bench with an injury, or in the most extreme case, you refuse to play entirely. Ben Simmons is the example that everyone points to. He signed a five-year, $177 million fully guaranteed contract with the Philadelphia 76ers, and then he essentially refused to play during the 2021-2022 season, citing mental health reasons. The Sixers withheld about $20 million in salary. Simmons filed a grievance through the National Basketball Players Association, also known as the NBPA, and eventually settled. He was then traded to Brooklyn and didn't play a single game for the Nets initially either. The guaranteed nature of his contract, though, meant that Philly couldn't just cut him and stop paying the guy. They were locked in. The Major League Baseball, or MLB, contracts work the same way. They're fully guaranteed. So when Shohei Ohtani signed his $700 million deal with the Dodgers, that money is his regardless of injuries, performance decline, or anything short of a criminal conviction that triggers a moral clause. The MLB has no salary cap, which means teams with deep pockets can spend without a hard ceiling, and the Players Association, the Major League Baseball's Players Association, MLBPA, has historically been one of the most powerful labor unions in American sports, having secured fully guaranteed contracts decades ago. The NHL is actually also fully guaranteed. Every player on the roster receives a salary in their contract even if they have injuries, buyouts, or poor performance occurs. And then there's the NFL, which is the outlier. Most NFL contracts are not fully guaranteed. And this is where the headline number gets misleading. When you hear that a quarterback like Mahomes signed a $500 million deal, most of that money is actually theoretical. The truly guaranteed portion of the money that the player receives no matter what is often a fraction of that total. NFL teams can cut a player and walk away from the remaining years of a contract with relatively limited financial consequences compared to the other leagues. The guaranteed portion is further divided into categories: guarantees against being cut for poor performance, guarantees against being able to be cut while injured, and guarantees against being cut for salary cap reasons. Each can be structured differently, which means two NFL contracts with the same headline number can have wildly different actual values depending on how the guarantees are actually structured. The guaranteed money question explains why some contracts are safer than others, but it doesn't explain why NBA players earn more on average than athletes in any other league, despite the NFL generating significantly more total revenue. The answer comes down to how many players split the money. So, I don't know if you've known this, but an NBA player has about 15 guys on its roster, and there are 30 teams, which means roughly 450 players in the entire league share the revenue. The average NBA salary is around $10.8 million per year, which is actually the highest of any major sport. The NFL generates about $20 billion in annual revenue, which is by far more than any other league on the planet. But that money is split amongst a 53-man roster on 32 teams. So if you do that math, it's about 1,700 players who are going to be sharing the pot. The average NFL salary is about $2.8 to $3.2 million. I mean, look, still good living, but it's less than a third of the NBA average, despite the NFL making significantly more money overall. The MLB sits in between with 26 players on their rosters across 30 teams and an average salary of around $4.9 million. The NHL has just about 23 players on the rosters across 32 teams with an average salary around $3.5 million. So if you're a parent watching your kid play sports and you're thinking purely about financial odds, the math looks like this. The NBA has the fewest roster spots, around 450, but the highest average salary and fully guaranteed contracts. The NFL has the most roster spots, about 1,700, which means more players can earn a living, but the average pay is lower, and most of the money isn't guaranteed. Plus, the career is way shorter, and injury risk is the highest of any of the major sports. The MLB offers a middle path with guaranteed money and longer careers, but you might spend years in the minor leagues making almost nothing before reaching the majors. The NHL pays well with guaranteed contracts, but it generates less revenue than the other three, which keeps the ceiling lower. The MLS, the Major League Soccer, is a different tier entirely. The average salary is around $660,000, and outside of the designated player spots that allow teams to sign stars like Messi at salaries that don't count against the cap, most players earn modest wages by professional sports standards. And then there's the tax angle that makes the geography of where you play almost as important as the sport you play. Professional athletes pay income tax in every state where they play a game, and this is known as the jock tax. Actually, the story of how the jock tax started is peak pettiness. After Michael Jordan's Chicago Bulls beat the LA Lakers in the 1991 NBA Finals, California taxed Jordan and his teammates for the income that they earned during the games played in LA. Illinois retaliated by passing its own jock tax targeting visiting California athletes, a law that then became known as the Michael Jordan's Revenge. Other states saw the revenue opportunity and piled on. And today, 21 states and several major cities levy a jock tax on visiting athletes. So the way it works is a duty days formula. So if you spend 10 out of, let's say, 200 working days in New York, about 5% of your annual salary is then taxable by New York at New York's rates, even if your home team is in Texas. And Texas is the key word there, because Texas has no state income tax, which means a player on the Dallas Mavericks or the Houston Texans pays zero state tax on their home game income, while a player making the same salary on the Knicks or the Lakers pays 10 to 13% to the state on every dollar earned at home. Over a 10-year career at $5 million per year, that difference can add up to $5 million or more in taxes. Teams in no-income states actively try to recruit using this as an advantage, because the same contract is worth meaningfully more in Dallas than it is in New York. So we talked about how much money you can make and we talked about taxes, but how can these deals be voided? Well, the one thing that can blow up a deal, even if it's fully guaranteed, is off-field behavior. And this is where it gets interesting because each league handles it differently. Most contracts include some version of a morals clause or behavioral provision that allows a team to void or restructure a deal if a player gets into serious legal trouble. Criminal convictions, domestic violence charges, and violations of league substance abuse policies can all trigger these clauses, though enforcing them usually involves arbitration through the Players Association and is rarely straightforward. The more common concern for players is what happens if you get hurt doing something that isn't related to your sport. Contracts typically distinguish between injuries sustained during team events and team activities and injuries sustained during personal time. Many NFL contracts include lists of prohibited activities like motorcycling, skydiving, recreational skiing, or even riding ATVs. If a player gets hurt doing one of those things, the team can potentially void the injury guarantee. NBA and MLB contracts have similar provisions, but they're enforced less aggressively because the contracts are fully guaranteed and the unions are stronger. The practical reality is that voiding a contract is rare and messy regardless of the league. Teams almost never want the public relations hit of refusing to pay an injured player, and the players' associations will fight any attempt to claw back guaranteed money through grievance procedures and arbitration. But the clauses exist, and players who do something reckless off the field are taking a risk that most fans don't think about when they see a highlight of an NBA player jet skiing in the offseason. The strength of each league's players' associations is what shaped all of these differences over decades of collective bargaining. The NBPA and MLBPA fought for and won fully guaranteed contracts. The NFLPA, despite representing players in the highest revenue league in the world, has historically been the weakest of the four major unions, which is why NFL players have the least financial security of any major sport. The union's leverage in negotiations determines how the money flows. So yeah, in the NFL, I mean, you're seeing a lot of these record-breaking deals, but I think what would be way cooler is to see the NFLPA actually figure out how to get more of their players guaranteed contracts. I don't know what that would do for the league revenue, but I think it would definitely be better for the players. And even with all this money, a lot of players end up with nothing. A widely cited Sports Illustrated report estimated that roughly 60% of former NBA players experienced serious financial difficulties within 5 years of retirement, and 78% of former NFL players faced financial stress within 2 years. Those numbers are from 2009, so it is a while ago, and the league says that they've improved their program since. But the stories keep coming. Not sure if any of you have seen this one, but Delonte West, who played for the Cavaliers and made over $16 million during his career, was filmed panhandling at a gas station a few years after leaving the league. Granted, he has battled addiction and homelessness since. Mark Cuban, the billionaire and he's the former owner of the Dallas Mavericks, personally reached out and got him into rehab in 2020. Vin Baker, a four-time NBA All-Star, made close to $100 million and he lost it all too. The leagues now offer pension programs and financial education, and the MLB has one of the best pensions in professional sports. A player just needs 43 days of service to qualify, and after 10 years, they're fully vested at least $68,000 per year starting at the age of 45, or up to $220,000 per year if they wait until 62. But the gap between what these athletes earn during their careers and what many of them have afterward is one of the strangest financial puzzles in American life. So to wrap up this episode, the thing that changed how I think about sports contracts is how different the same number can mean depending on the sport. A $200 million NBA contract is $200 million in your bank account no matter what. I mean, yes, you have to think about taxes, but you get my point. A $500 million NFL contract might be $150 million guaranteed with the rest contingent on you staying healthy, performing well, and not getting cut. The NBA has the fewest roster spots, but the highest average annual salary and the strongest guarantees. And that combination exists because the players' union fought for it over decades. So the next time that you see a big contract announcement, which I anticipate it's going to be Christian Gonzalez with the New England Patriots, the question worth asking isn't how much the deal is worth, it's how much is that player actually going to keep. Stay informed, stay curious, stay healthy, and we'll see you tomorrow.